Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 18. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too, who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus, right? He too shared in their humanity so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Lord, we come before you this morning, and we know that you are mighty and good and awesome, and that you meet us in this place. Lord, we seek freedom from the past, which calls out to us, Lord, to bind us. Our enemy, the devil, would come to see who he can kill and destroy. We ask your protection, we ask your guidance, we ask your deliverance. And we crave your promise this morning, Lord, that we would come near to you, grab on tight, and never let go. We give you praise in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be talking about God's house today. And we're talking about building God's house. And Gail talked about 48 years ago, something that happened in July. Well, 19 years ago, what happened in City Heights is Lisa and I came here. And the church ended at that wall back there. In fact, you go downstairs through them doors that you go out onto the patio and the blacktop and all that stuff. Those doors were a window. There was no way to get through, and there was just dirt. In fact, that dirt was from Highway 15, and the construction from Highway 15 filled in a big canyon where guys used to shoot heroin out there. So we got here. There was nothing out there, and through great labor and sweat and some tears, all that stuff was built by the guys that coming to the church and jumping on board. And after work days, we would often, now for those of you who have lived, who's lived in City Heights 20 years? All right, Juan Carlos, remember VIP, Oriental Buffet? Yes, oh yes. What? Prom dinner, really? Well, we used to take all the guys on the work crew, and we would go down, and man, they had the fried chicken that was happening, and they had roast beef and mash, just everything at a buffet, and it was just so good. And you know, they had the kids' bargain pricing. I don't know, it was like $1 a year or something. So I would take my children, and they were little, and we would go there, and Leanne would get platefuls of white rice, you know, and just put soy sauce on it, and that's what she loved, or the macaroni and cheese. And I remember one particular instance, Joe came across these homemade or VIP made chocolate chip cookies. They were this big around, and he you could ask him. You could ask him. I'm sure he will recall it. He ate 13 of those cookies. He was so proud. And Lisa obviously was not with us. And when he went home and told his mom, "Mom, I had 13. And she was not pleased. But we're not going to go there today. It was located over there by Food for Less. Home Depot moved in, Hometown Buffet moved in, kind of put them out of business. And now Hometown Buffet is out of business. But Leanne and I, for some reason, were driving through Kearney Mesa looking for Korean barbecue. And we're driving through, because they got Korean barbecue up there. And we're going down Claremont Mesa, and what do we see? VIP, Oriental Buffet. And I turned to Leanne and I said, VIP! And she's like, let's go, Dad. And we just have these memories of the past and all the goodness. And we stroll into VIP with great anticipation and expectation in our hearts. And it was foul. The fried chicken was hard. The roast beef was overcooked. And all the chocolate chip cookies came out of a package. And we discovered that day the past, the promise of the past, is often a lie. Today we're talking about freedom from the past. And it is so exciting. I am excited to speak to you today because so many of you are indeed experiencing and embracing that freedom from the past. Amen? God called you out of darkness, and you have grabbed onto that call, and you have grabbed onto that promise, and are moving into a new future and grabbing on tight. Our writer, the writer of Hebrews, who is anonymous, we don't know who it is, there is conjecture, but I'll just refer to him as he, or our writer, writes to a group of formerly Jewish believers who have accepted Christ, grabbed onto the promise of Christ, and been transformed. Amen? They live in Rome, and there is a great persecution of the church that is going on in Rome in the latter part of the 60s, 35 years after the crucifixion of Christ. Paul has been crucified. Peter has been crucified. They're being arrested. Their property is being seized. They are being tortured and killed. And there is a great persecution. And because of this persecution, they are contemplating, and many have already loosed their grip on the promise of Christ and looked to the past. They thought if we can go back to our safe Jewish religion and escape this persecution. Now, we don't face that type of persecution in the United States today. In Iraq, in Muslim countries, in the Middle East, in Philippines, there is a persecution that goes on against the Christian. Amen? We don't experience that today. But see, they were trying to escape the pressure that comes from that persecution. And we can relate to that pressure because there are many who have grabbed on to the promise of Christ and they feel that pressure because we are surrounded by a culture that embraces leisure. And any pain that you have. You got pain? Take a pill. You're alone? Go online. There is easy answers to everything that you face. Christ calls us to an entirely different life. Amen? He says, I will deliver you from all of that. And to get this new life, it requires that you surrender all of your past. And you sit here today, and I know so many of you have grabbed onto that. And so many of you have said, man, that looks so good. But the price is a little high. And we're wondering maybe that the promise of Christ would go on sale. Because some of us want to hold on to a little bit of the past just for a little escape every now and then. You know what I'm talking about? And our writer says, watch out. Because that little escape can cost you all you have. The title of today's message is, Don't Lose the Promise. Amen? All right, we are going to spend our time in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 today, and we're going to read the first four verses of chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Now we're going to put a focus on the house of God, and we're going to talk about living life with a focus on Jesus. Okay? Therefore, see that first word, therefore? Every time you come across therefore in the Bible, you look back a paragraph. Because he says, he told us all this stuff. And that's why I read from the end of chapter 2 of Hebrews, because chapter 3 starts with therefore. Because I just told you all this. I'm going to tell you this. Now, so let me rewind for just a moment on what we ended with. And what we ended with is Christ is our atonement. Okay? That Christ, Jesus hung on the cross to pay for your sins. Now, that is not something that is earth-shattering if you've been coming to this church for a while or coming to a Christian church for any time at all. Right? Christ paid for your sins on the cross. Now, it also says that Jesus became our faithful and merciful high priest. And it is bound up with this atonement and with this payment. And we talked about that last week. And it is called, what Jesus does is called propitiation. You can say that three times fast. Or you can write on the side of your notes someplace, propitiation. See, Jesus does that as our great and merciful high priest. As he takes his sacrifice of himself, he is able to redirect the wrath of God off of us. That is what we need a high priest for. Amen? So Christ makes the sacrifice, pays the price for our sins, redirects the wrath of God so that God can welcome us into his house and give us the promise of a better future. Good with that? All right. So, that's what we did with therefore. Now, he is writing to a people with a desire for heaven. They want to be part of God's household. He calls them holy brothers and sisters. They have heard the voice of God, they have responded to the voice of God, and they have been transformed in their existence. Amen? You tracking with me here? Also, based on the language, we can tell that the writer knows these people, that he is familiar with them, and that he is familiar with the challenges that they face. And he knows that the persecution that they undergo is causing them to loosen their grip on Jesus. He says, don't let it happen. He steps in the middle of this process, and he begins to discuss the house of God. He said that God is going to build his house, and that God's house is not these walls. It is not that blacktop that we used to go to VIP and celebrate after we built. It is the people of God. And that God was building his house in the time of Moses, and that God is still building his house by building you and building me. Amen? You come here today as members of God's house, you are just like Moses, a servant in the house of God. We got a saying around here, every member, a minister. If you're a member, we'll set you up with a job. Amen? All right, let's keep going here. Reading verses 5 and 6. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And we are his house if indeed we hold firmly. That's a big if there. You got your Bible open. You got your pen out. You could circle that if. I don't know if you can circle it on your tablet, but if you can, circle it, because that's a big if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Moses served in God's house. And God has a desire that continues to this day to build his house. He called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He said, Abraham, leave your father's house, leave your country, leave your people. Go to the land I'm going to show you, and I will make you into a great nation. He called Moses, Exodus chapter 3. He said, I have heard the cries of my people, the Israelites. I am sending you to Pharaoh to lead my people out of Egypt. Jesus spoke to his disciples. Matthew chapter 4. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There was always a desire for God to build his house. And that effort continues on to this day, to this room, to every person that can hear his voice. Amen? He wants to build you. He wants to transform you. You enter his household by leaving all you know behind. Problem the path keeps on pulling. And like I discovered, Leanne and I at VIP, there is no promise that's in the past. Now he says here that the promise of the people, promise to the people of God, extends beyond the time of Moses. That the people of to Moses' time perished without receiving that promise, and extended on to the time of David, and extended on to the time of Jesus. But that promise is conditional. There is that great big if that is written right there in verse 6. There is, in the last line, we are God's house if we hold on firmly to the promise and don't let go. Now, I want to share this story about holding on. I went to Fresno State University. It's similar in size to San Diego State. In fact, I think they still play basketball, football against one another. Large school in Central California. And the big deal at Fresno State, I think 20,000 students, something like that, big campus. Big thing that we went on was Vintage Days. And it happened in May every year, April, May. And it was a big deal. And I was in a fraternity house. We had a bunch of guys, big guys, and think of guys like Joe and Josh. And they had a tug-of-war contest. And there would be 100 teams or more entered. And so it had been the second, third year. I was going to Fresno State. I said, man, we're going to get a team. And we started scouring all the gyms and everything across town. And we had a stacked and jacked crew, man. And I mean the Fresno State football team had a tug of war team. And they were massive. So we're going and we're winning. And we're winning. And the more we win, the more beefed up guys we got coming. And so we got this giant team, and me and my roommate pulling, and we get to the quarterfinals. And we're pulling, and it's raining, and it's kind of miserable, you know, and it's a big old rope that you're pulling on, and there's a ribbon in the middle, and you pull it over the line, and you get like a beep, and you win. And so we're in the quarterfinals. I mean, there's only eight teams left. We go to the semis, there's four. We go to the finals, there's two. And Frank DeLito, I mean, he's the president of the fraternity, man. And he's running up there. He goes, you guys have got it. You're 1 inch away. Go, pull, pull. And we are pulling, and we can go no further. And we're just holding, man. And I'm thinking about this, and I can remember. Because, I mean, I am just pulling as hard as I can, and we're all pulling, and Frank going, go, go, go. And I just see the rope go zip. Right through my hands. I mean, because it's raining, it's wet, you know, it's like, zip!
writer says, keep your grip on that promise. Or zip, zip, zip. You can.
There's no promise in the past. Got to keep our focus on the house of the Lord. Amen? All right. Let's keep going. We okay? All right. You can lose what you have found. Amen? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. So as the Holy Spirit says, as God the Holy Spirit speaks, so the Holy Spirit says today, everybody say today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. God gets angry at rebellion. Amen? Not a lot of people tell you that. We just read a whole bunch of that. We're going to keep on reading about that today. God, you see, God heard the cry of the Israelites. Oh, God, save us out of our slavery. Life is so bitter. And he hears, and he sends Moses, and he delivers them. And he guides them, and they struggle and rebel against him. He makes provision for them every day. And for 40 years, he makes that provision. And for 40 years, they rebel against him. They lived in his presence. They experienced his glory. They walked through the Red Sea as on dry ground. And in that, they tested God. You say, well, how did they test God? Well, how does anybody test God? God, if you would just fill in the blank, I'll follow you. You ever heard anybody say that? You ever said that? That's testing God. And what I have discovered in my life is that God does not jump through hoops. Amen? See, his message in the wilderness was, I have displayed my glory to you. What more do you want? Oh, if you would just do this. If you would just do that. I would follow you. Now, as they're testing God, their hearts become hard. I think I could do better. We can do better than, you know, Egypt was better than this. And God became angry. They shall never enter my rest. There is no promise in the past. It's today. Amen? Let's keep reading. Verses 12 through 19. See to it. No, you can circle that. See to it. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. We could stop right there and spend our time. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold. There's a big if right there, folks. A big if. If indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear they would never enter his rest if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. And I want to let you know this morning that belief is your key to the promise of God in your life. Now, I want you to notice that, see, they were testing God. God, if you would, if you could, I think I can do better. And in that process, their hearts became hard. They became resistant to God. And there is a progression that in that, from that hardened heart, and as a result of that hardened heart, they moved into sin and unbelief. Unbelief will get you out of the promise. Amen? Our writer says, watch out, this can happen to you. He says, watch out, this can happen to the people around you. And he says, this happens to people who see the acts of God and think that they can do better. And that is, Bible says, that God's word does not return void. Amen? And so we, as a strategy, will do anything we can to get the word out before people. 4th of July, we had a bunch of neighborhood folks coming in here, not safe. We've got, we served 2,500 meals last month to kids from the schools around here, neighborhood, mom, pass out food. And there is, I'll say, a majority of them who have no interest in the things of God. They're here for food. Now, we give them that food so that we can show them the things of God. And maybe the Lord will speak to them. Amen? Now, these people he's describing here, their hearts are hardened as they begin to see the things of God. They're going to be better now. Because they come here for food and they become hardened to the miracles of God. And that hardness keeps them from entering into the house. Amen? You tracking with me? So, he says, this can happen to you, and this can happen to the people around you. Pay attention. You see that happening, step in. You can make a difference. He's writing this to these Jewish Christians. He's writing this because they are thinking, man, we could just head on back to the synagogue. We could just head on back to the temple. And we can avoid all this persecution. And our writer writes to these Jews, to these Christian Jews who are going to release their grip on Christ, and he's saying, look, all these people back in Moses' time died in the wilderness. There is no promise back there. Are you following me on this? In addition, underlying this, see, the people in Moses' time missed out on the promise and died in the wilderness. But the leaders of the temple in Jerusalem missed out on the Messiah. And they put him on the cross. And he's saying there is no promise back there. There's no opportunity back there. There is only death and dying. You can fail in the wilderness. He says halfway won't get you home. He says, you grab on, get in the household of God. You better make sure that you don't leave. Because you can. You can lose it all. You can let go. You can lose your focus, lose your faith, get your heart hardened, and be deceived by sin. Amen? This is a picture of a park bank in Pittsburgh. And you see just the randomness of play that is going on. And I got a picture here of our neighborhood. The church is right here. Glory, hallelujah. And you know, I don't know there's any kids out there, but on a normal day, there'd be kids and people all over our neighborhood, just in random activities and just kind of looking like that other picture, just kind of doing whatever they want to do. That's the way it was in Holtville. Oh, wonderful Holtville. When I was growing up, kids just run around doing their stuff until one thing happened. Ice cream. Every kid, ice cream man. And we would go running to the ice cream man. Our focus was the ice cream man. And so when he talks about if you hold on to your faith, he talks about perseverance of the saints. See, when Jesus comes back, it is as if he comes to this neighborhood and there is a focus on him. And everybody's running towards him. When he comes back, he's going to see who's still focused on him. Because when your focus is on him, you're grabbing on to the promise with a ferocious grip. It's not going to slip out of your hands. He says, that's my house. And the writer says, you let go of that. You're trying to escape your persecution, your pressure in your life, and you start heading a different direction. He comes back. You're not pointed towards him. You're not part of the promise anymore. That's perseverance of the saints. You get a focus, and you keep a focus. Amen? All right. Last thing we're going to take a look at, Hebrews chapter 4, talking about understanding our options. And that's what our writer is talking about. Therefore, another therefore. We've been talking about what we're talking about this whole time. Chapter 3. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you, who's he talking to? Holy brothers and sisters. Let me add that in there. Let us be careful that none of you holy brothers and sisters be found who have fallen short of the rest or of the promise of God. That's why he's worried. Can I get a witness? For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now, we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet, his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God's rested from all his works. And again in the above passage, he says, they shall never enter my rest. All to say you can miss out on the promise. The offer of God goes out. He says, today, if you hear his voice. And the offer goes out, but the acceptance comes in two parts. The acceptance comes in faith, and the acceptance comes in obedience. Amen? There is an offer, and there is acceptance. And we accept with faith, and faith is displayed in obedience. If you are disobedient, that a display of disbelief and unbelief. Without obedience, we fail. Without obedience, we miss the promise of God. This is in direct contradiction to the message of the world. To the message of our culture. See, the message of our culture is a good and kind and loving God is not going to allow anybody to fail. Have you heard that? Now, they have not read Hebrews 3 and 4. Can I get a witness on that part? So they miss out on a good, kind, loving, and just God. Because a good, kind, loving, and just God actively opposes evil. Our writer gives us a definition of a good, kind, loving, and just God. A good, kind, loving, and just God hangs on a cross to pay for your sin. Amen? A good, kind, loving, and just God is our merciful high priest who brings his sacrifice and redirects the wrath of God around us. Can I get a witness on that? Say, good and kind and loving and just God guides us into all truth and guides us into the promise of God. Amen? Question is whether or not you're going to grab on. Question is whether or not you are going to surrender your past to find that fullness in Him. Amen? See, there's no promise in the past, but that promise is for today. Amen? All right, let's finish our time. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. Therefore, it still remains for some to enter that rest. I need somebody to go get my wife for me, please. Oh, thank you. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them that did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. God's offer still stands. Message goes out. Message goes out to Rome, to Christian Jews that were being persecuted. Message goes out to City Heights. God's promises are for today. He is still guiding. Promise goes out. Jesus says, come unto me, you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You come in here today, and the weight of the world is upon your shoulders. There is no promise in the past, but there is a promise in the future for a rest that will never end. Amen? You see, there is coming one day a trumpet blast. There is coming one day a promise that will never end. And as we grab onto that promise, we see the leading edge. I'll share with you what that promise was. See, look at this kid going, give me that promise. Look, he ain't giving up. He's keeping looking. See, that's what we need to be doing. Let me tell you about this promise. Revelation 21, 2 and 3. I saw the holy city. Close your eyes. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people. And he will dwell with them. And they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and will be their God. God puts out this promise today. And he says, grab on. With all you're getting, get God. With all your grabbing, grab on to the promise of God. And I look at you today and I see so many of you grabbing with all that you have onto the promise of God with a focus into the future that you might find your fullness in Him. The past calls out and you turn your back and you grab even stronger onto the promise of God. Because you know that His promise is for right now. Amen? Maybe you are here this morning. Gail, can you give me some violin strings or something up here? I see my wine. Maybe you are here this morning. If you're here this morning and you got your grip on the promise of God, as I mentioned this, Lisa, you can come on up and join Gail. you have your grip firmly on the promise of God, there is an exuberation. There is a joy that bubbles up within your soul this morning. And you're just going, oh yeah. New Jerusalem, coming down, coming down. I can't wait for that day. But perhaps you sit here this morning and there is not a message of comfort that comes from the Lord. But it is a warning. My son, my daughter, your grip is loose. It might be that your grip has never even been made. And as you consider the promise of God, there is a fear. There is a concern, that there is a worry that would come out. But the voice of the Lord, our faithful, merciful high priest, says, I paid for your sin. I will redirect God's wrath and I will call you into my promise. Cost all you have, but I'll give you all that I am. Nobody's looking around right now. And the Lord Jesus is in this room speaking to your heart, saying, here is my promise. It is time for you to grab on. And you want to do that this morning. God is here. He says, here's my hand. Reach up. Grab on. I just invite you this morning, if that's you, to slide your hand up in the air, just like you're reaching God's, reach out for God's hand right here. Somebody else would say, that is me. I want God's promise in my life right back there. Somebody else would say, that's me right here in front. Over here, praise the Lord. Anybody else? God, I so want a new future. It's going to be challenging. There's going to be no escapes, but I don't want to escape from you, Lord. I want to know you. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Slide your hand up just quickly. Let's all stand across this place. The worship team is going to come. Lord, I pray for those. I pray for those, Lord. It's a long race. We're sweaty and tired. But Lord, we're grabbing on tight, not letting go. Future is before us. We give you praise, knowing that you are mighty and awesome. Meet us here in this place, Lord. We give you praise for that. Lord, for these that come in here willing to surrender their past, we toss it off as filthy rags, that you would be glorified. We move towards you, Lord. Give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, I invite you, put your hand up earlier to come down.